Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8.
Okay, Revelation chapter 8. We'll read down through verse 6. We'll start in verse 1 and read down through verse 6. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. And when he had opened, and that he is Jesus Christ, we've seen the seven seal judgments, we've already studied them. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. We discussed that at length last Sunday morning. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So the seventh seal was opened. Now we begin to see now it's about time for the seven angels to blow the seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So if you look, I have a different timeline here, same timeline, just a different representation, visual representation of it. We've gone through, we've seen the rapture, the pre-tribulation catching away of the saints. We've seen the rapture. We've seen the seven seal judgments. And now we're in time between the seven seals and the seven trumpets. There's a brief interlude between the seven seals and the seven trumpets, and something very interesting happens in heaven. I do want to get into the seven trumpets, but something very interesting happens in this time between the seven seals and seven judgments. We don't know how long it takes. I believe it's just a brief period of time, but we get a glimpse of something in heaven. Let's, with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just take a look at this. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for our ability to open your word and to have your Holy Spirit come alongside and aid our understanding of your word. And I pray that that's what would take place here in this Sunday school hour this morning. Lord, bless in every way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the seven seals have been opened. The seven seal judgments have been unleashed on earth. And John says in verse 2, the seven angels are given trumpets to blow, but they haven't blown them yet. He gets down to verse 6 and says they prepare to blow. So what happens between verse 2 and verse 6? He gives the seven angels receive the trumpets in verse 2, and they prepare to blow in verse 6, but something very interesting happens in verses 3 and following. Verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. We see a very interesting thing. We see a ceremony, a solemn ceremony in heaven taking place here. A ceremony in heaven between the seals and the trumpets. And it's not very often that we get a glimpse of the behind the scenes in heaven. The vast majority of the Bible is about God's work on earth. What God does on earth. And every once in a great while, we get a little glimpse of what takes place in the throne room of heaven. Every once in a little while, the curtain is pulled back and we get a peek at what goes on in God's presence. And can anybody give me some examples from the Bible when we get those little peeks of what takes place? Yes, ma'am. In Job chapters 1 and 2, the sons of God, we believe the angels, come before the throne. And Satan himself comes before the throne. And then we get a glimpse into why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. In fact, the word Satan, anybody know what the word Satan actually means? Slanderer. The slanderer. or what the word devil means. He comes before the throne and he says, "Doth Job fear God for not?" And he begins to accuse Job. So there's one little peek behind the scenes. See, here's something that I thought kind of helps explain why we get so little view of what takes place in heaven. We walk around on this earth and we see what takes place on earth. We know what takes place on earth. But we walk by walk by sight. The Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk around and we see what takes place on this earth, and what we don't see, what takes place in heaven, we have to understand it by faith. And so we get so very little of it in the Bible, but we get little hints here and there, little pictures here and there. So we see Job. There's something else that happens. Miss Luella. When Stephen was stoned, we get a peek behind the curtain. Near in his dying moments, he got to look up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing, not seated at the right hand of God, but standing at the right hand of the Father to receive the very first Christian martyr. So we got a peek. There's another one. Jesus said something about what happens when one sinner repenteth. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. By the way, he doesn't say that the angels rejoice. I don't believe it's the angels that's rejoicing. I believe there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Who is it that's rejoicing? It's God himself. You had your hand up. Was it something else? That was what you were coming up with? So just little glimpses, tiny little glimpses of what takes place in heaven. And by the way, what takes place in heaven determines what takes place on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What takes place in, so when we look around and we see what goes on earth, we have to understand that things are being orchestrated in heaven. And we see that here in verses 3 and following. We see this ceremony that takes place in heaven, a very solemn ceremony. And let's just read verse 3 again. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, watch this now, this ceremony, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Here's a ceremony that takes place in heaven, but it reminds me of what takes place in heaven. It reminds me this fact, that your prayers are important to God. Your prayers are important to God. God makes a point to receive our prayers in a solemn ritual on which he focuses his attention. Not that God can't do everything at once. He's omnipotent. He's, I don't like to use the word busy, but he's engaged. He is active. He is holding this universe together, but he takes a focus of his attention and has this solemn ceremony where the prayers of all saints are offered up on the altar. And in fact, I believe there's nothing in the text here that tells us this is a one-time event, or that it just simply happened between the seals and the trumpets. I believe, based on the totality of Scripture, that this is a regular occurrence in heaven. That it's happened before, it's happening again, it happens today. In fact, I believe, based on the totality of Scriptures, that it's at least twice daily. And I can't prove that, but the tabernacle and the priestly office, they offered incense twice daily. And we understand that the things that took place in the tabernacle on earth were representations and pictures of the true tabernacle in the heavens. And so, I believe that this ritual takes place at least twice daily. That's not a dogmatic point. Nobody's going to hell if they don't agree with me. But, I believe that. Go to the Psalms and look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141, I'll read verses 1 and 2. A Psalm of David. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Isn't that a beautiful picture? David, inspired to write these words about his prayer, gives us a glimpse of this ceremony that John witnesses, that the prayers of the saints come before God as incense, as the morning sacrifice and as the evening sacrifice. Look at Luke chapter 1. Here we're getting into the Christmas season. Let's look at part of the Christmas narrative. The father of John the Baptist was a priest. He goes down to Jerusalem to execute his priestly office. And look what his job was. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. This is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So when they offered the incense, the crowd of people outside the temple were engaged in prayer. Could this be at the same time God has an angel offer incense on the golden altar before the throne? While the saints on earth are praying, the angel offers incense and the prayers of the saints on the throne before God in heaven. God makes a point to receive our prayers in a solemn ritual where he focuses his attention. Your prayer is important to God. My prayer is important to God. We don't simply speak words into the air that have no effect, that aren't received, that aren't... By the way, let me get a corollary here. If our prayer is so important to God that he has a solemn ceremony set aside in heaven to receive our prayer, shouldn't our prayers and our prayer time and our prayer life be important to us? Your prayer is important to God. But I want to notice one more thing. Come back to Revelation chapter 8 on this point. Whose prayers are important to God? Well, let me back up. Let's say, so God focuses his attention on the prayers. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 to start with. It casts a whole new light on some things I see in Hebrews. And of course, Hebrews was written to people who understood the rituals and the ceremony that the priests engaged in on earth. And so, look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's this beautiful picture. So before God's throne is a golden altar, and an angel offers our prayers on that altar that are a sweet-smelling savor to God. And our prayers, God sets aside this ritual, this ceremony, this solemn observation to receive our prayers. And the writer to Hebrews says, let us come boldly. If God goes to that trouble to receive our prayers, we can have boldness before the throne. We know we're going to obtain, look what it says at the end of verse 16, to find grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the picture casts a whole new light on Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Start at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go in. But when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies? It's torn in half. And the writer of Hebrews says that curtain pictured the torn flesh of the Lord Jesus. Through the veil, we can go into the Holy of Holies with boldness. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. This picture of this ceremony in heaven where God receives our prayers, where our prayers are important to him, doesn't that help you with full assurance of faith that you can enter in and you can go before God? With full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I have this picture in my mind of God setting aside a moment with a solemn observance, with a ritual, with a ceremony where he receives my prayer about what's going on in my life, about who's trying to harm me, about who's the things that are happening to me. He receives that prayer, and I can boldly say, when I remember that picture, I can boldly say, God is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I think this picture of what takes place in heaven puts a whole new light on our prayer life, puts a whole new light on our boldness, our ability to go to God and ask for what we need. But the question is, back to Revelation now, here's my question on this point. I said your prayers are important to God. Let's ask the question, but whose prayers are important to God? Look at verse 3. Of Revelation chapter 8. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. These are the prayers of the saints. Whose prayers are important to God? These are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Well, who is a saint? Don't you have to work a miracle in this life, and then after you're dead, a Roman Catholic who's not allowed to pray to you because you're not a saint prays to you anyway, and you still work a miracle, and then the Pope says, okay, they must be a saint. And then you're a saint. Is that how it works? Does that even make sense? A saint, according to the Bible, and the word saint means a holy one, a set apart one. A saint is everyone who has trusted Christ as Savior. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, it says the prayers of all saints. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your prayers are important to God. Your prayers are offered on the golden altar before God's throne. the Muslim, boy, they pray. They get out their prayer rug. They face Mecca. I just thought of an idea. Could you make a lot of money selling prayer rugs with compasses on them? So they face Mecca and they pray 5 times a day. Someone who's not trusted Christ can pray 10 times a day or 100 times a day. They might as well just write a note, stick it in a bottle, and cast it in the ocean. It's got more chance of making it to God's throne. The Roman Catholic that's never trusted Christ, that's trusting in the church, that's trusting in Mary and everything else, can take a string of prayer beads, what's it, the rosary. They could wear that thing out all the way down to the string. It's just, what did Jesus say? They think they shall be heard for their much speaking, using their vain repetitions. The prayers of the saints, those who've trusted Christ. In fact, turn to your left, if you're at Revelation here, turn to your left just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. Ye, verse 5, 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He says, you who trusted Christ, we know we're saints. 1 Peter and other scriptures tells us we're also priests. We're a holy priesthood. And it's our job as priests, just like it was Zechariah's job, it's our job as priests to offer up sacrifices. Only we don't take a bull or a goat or an ox or a sheep or a lamb. We don't offer up fleshly, carnal sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices does it say we offer up in verse 5? Spiritual sacrifices. That includes our prayer. Our prayer. Your prayers are important to God. But whose prayers are important to God? The saints, the priests, everyone who's trusted Christ as Savior. Our prayers end up on the golden altar. Come back to Revelation chapter 8 again. And look at verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I can't stand incense. It burns something in the back of my nose. I have a very sensitive nose. I can't stand most women's perfume. It's like it tickles something. I can't even walk into the candle store at the mall. I can't even walk past the candle store. I got to go to the other side of the hall to walk past the candle store at the mall. I can't stand it. But that shows you how far from God I really am, because God apparently loves the smell of incense. So much of the sacrifices are accompanied by incense. And so these prayers of the saints here in Revelation 8:4, these prayers of the saints are offered with incense on the altar. That tells me this. Not only are your prayers important to God, your prayers are pleasing to God. Your prayers are pleasing to God. I gave a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 13, I won't turn there, but I do want to turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Your prayers are important to God, but know this as well. Your prayers are pleasing to God. Psalm 69, look at verses 30 and 31. This is David. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. What's that? That's a type of prayer, giving thanks. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. So David lived in a time where You went and offered sacrifice on a regular basis to please God. And he says, when I sing with praise or when I offer up thanksgiving prayers, that will please the Lord better than that sacrifice of oxen. Your prayers are pleasing to God. They're offered on that altar with the incense, and they go into his nostrils. And like, you remember when Noah got off the ark and he burned a sacrifice, and it says God smelled it and it pleased him. That's how our prayers are. Your prayers are important to God. Your prayers are pleasing to God. But come back to Revelation 8. I want you to see one more thing. Now picture this here. Picture. So we saw the martyred souls under the altar during the tribulation period. Those who trusted Christ during the tribulation period, and they were put to death because of their faith in Christ. They were beheaded by the Antichrist and his forces and others for their faith in Christ. And we see them in heaven, and they cry out to God in prayer, how long, O Lord, until you judge them, until you get vengeance on them on the earth, until you judge them that are on the earth because of our blood. How long, O Lord? And God tells them, just a little while until more martyrs join you, till your brethren come. We got to verse 7, or chapter 7, and we saw their brethren came. More martyrs came on the earth, and God had 30 minutes of silence in heaven, I believe, to commemorate their deaths. And now, John sees this picture of the prayers of the saints being offered on the altar. Which prayers does he have in mind? I have no doubt he has in mind the prayers of those martyrs that cried, how long until you judge them on the earth? So these prayers of the saints are offered on the altar. The angel offers them on the altar. And then look what it says in verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. What was it? What was on the altar? The prayers of the saints. So he takes the censer, he fills it with fire of the altar, and casts it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Here's my next point. Not only are your prayers important to God, not only are your prayers pleasing to God, but your prayers move the hand of God on the earth. Amen. They cried in prayer, Lord, how long until you judge them on the earth? Their prayers were offered on the altar. The angel took the fire of their prayers, cast it into the earth. And there were thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a interesting picture? Your prayers move the hand of God on the earth. What we ask for in prayer, what we plead for in prayer, what we beg of God in prayer, puts God into action, and things happen around us and around the world. I remember, I think he may have passed away, and there's a new director, but the South, anybody ever listen to Southwest Radio Ministries or Southwest Radio Church? I remember the former, director, Noah, was it Noah Hutchings, maybe was his name. Even as an old man, I remember his voice on the radio. He would start every broadcast every day and say in his old crackly voice, God is still on the throne. And prayer changes things. That's true. Prayer changes things. Because God changes things. Because our prayers are important to God. Because our prayers are pleasing to God. And because our prayers move the hand of God on earth. We're running out of time. In 2 Samuel 22, I won't turn there. 2 Samuel 22. David, he gives this long prayer, and he says, you know, he was on the run from his enemies. He was in distress, in great distress, and he remembers back and he says, I knelt down and I prayed to God, and the mountains shook. Now, I don't know that the mountains literally shook, but as far as his life was concerned, he moved mountains through faith, through his prayer. And James chapter 5 reminds us that Elijah, he was a man just like you and me. He wasn't any super special individual. He was a man just like you and just like me. He had frailties. He had weaknesses. But he earnestly prayed, and what happened? Didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he earnestly prayed again, and what happened? It rained. Your prayers move the hand of God on earth. Do you have other examples, maybe in the Bible, of prayer moving the hand of God? Brother Adam? Yes. Yes. And I heard over here, Hannah, Eli, the priest Eli, thought she was drunk because she was praying with her lips, but she wasn't speaking. He thought she was drunk, but she was praying. She wasn't drunk. She was praying. She was asking for a son, and she received that great man of God, Samuel, as her son. Prayer changes things. Prayer. Our prayers move the hand of God on earth. Now, it is interesting, and I do want to point this out. So, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, David, he prays what are called imprecatory prayers. Imprecatory prayers. And I don't have a definition of that word, but I can tell you what imprecatory prayers means. It means when David prays, God, judge that person. God, pour out your wrath on that person who's against me. God, turn their tricks on their own head. That's imprecatory prayers. We see David's examples of that in the Psalms and other few places in the Old Testament. And then here in the Revelation, during the tribulation period, we see it again. These souls, these martyred souls who were beheaded for the cause of Christ during the tribulation period, they pray, God, judge the inhabitants of the earth. And God does so. My question for you, and you can think about that this week, and you can maybe come back and discuss it next week. What happened here? Should we pray imprecatory prayers today? Somebody, maybe an unbeliever, maybe a believer, maybe a backslider. Somebody does us wrong. Somebody does our country wrong. Somebody's just not walking with the Lord. Whatever. Should we pray? God, hurt them. Should we pray that today? Because David prayed it, and the tribulation martyrs prayed it. Should we pray it today? I'll leave you with that question. Maybe write that question down or be prepared to discuss that next week. Let's just make a commitment. Who is going to come up? Who's going to come prepared to discuss that next week? You'll have something to say about that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody that doesn't normally, let me get a commitment for somebody that doesn't normally chime in. One more person. Come on now. You can do it. Hands everywhere. All right. Thank you. All right. Should we pray imprecatory prayers today? Let's talk about that next week. And then maybe if we have time, hopefully we'll have time, get into the 7 trumpet judgments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God today. And I do pray, Lord God, that you would help in our continued understanding of your Word, Father, not understanding simply, Lord, so that we might be filled with knowledge, because knowledge puffeth up, but Lord, so that we might be filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that we can live our lives and apply it to our lives and live better lives today. Thank you, Lord God, for the fact that our prayers are important to you, as we saw this morning in the Sunday school hour. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us with the knowledge of what takes place when we pray, to improve our prayer lives, to dedicate us more and more to seeking your face in prayer and seeking your hand to move on the earth. Now bless the church services today, guide and direct, that you would be glorified in all that takes place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.